I've got a reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. It's all of chapter 2, verses 1 to 25. And I thought it was quite a good scripture, considering it's Father's Day. And I thought I'd just use it to mind. It reads, "Therefore rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and the stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your souls. Live such good lives amongst the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves to the Lord for the Lord's sake, to every human authority, whether to the emperor or the supreme authority or the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, it is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. For you were like sheep gone astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." What a strong passage from the Word of God. So let's just come before him. Heavenly Father, as I've already said this morning, we want you to speak to each one of us, feed us the parts that we need to. Holy Spirit, open our eyes to them so that we can improve. We'll never be perfect, but we can strive to become more like Jesus Christ, our shepherd, the shepherd of our souls, who we are instructed that we should follow. And even when we fail, he forgives us. Lord, you're such a wonderful, loving, forgiving Father. And we just give you all the thanks and the praise and glory and ask you to speak to us now and feed us, your flock, in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, today is Father's Day. And, you know, I know a lot of us have lost their fathers. I lost my father when I was about 16. And he was a wonderful dad. I have no complaints. But, you know, I've got a far better father who is still alive. And he'll always be alive. And he'll be my father forever. And I'm thankful for that, my Heavenly Father. And I've entitled this message, The Importance of Doing the Father's Will. And you know, us fathers, us of us who are fathers, we would like to think that our children do our will, you know. And we know at times they go astray, they go wrong, just as we do. And our Heavenly Father would love us to do his will, but he knows, just like our own children, there's times that when we go astray, but he loves us all the same. You know, and I think when you are a father, you can realize how much the Lord loves you, because you've got the same feeling for your own children. And you forgive a lot of things, you know, that they do, which they shouldn't. And a lot of times, it comes back to them when they're older. I done lots of things when I was a child, before my father died, that he would probably have been ashamed of if he had known. And things that he did know of, he'd tell me off about. You know, but that's what fathers do. That's what fathers are for. Discipline. And that's what our Heavenly Father does. He disciplines us. You know, from the passage we've read this morning from 1 Peter chapter 2, it seems clear to me that the most important thing that we need to do as Christians is exactly what the title says, to do God's will. Follow the Father's will. Sounds easy, but how often do we fail? How often do we slip up? It's very easy. We can get caught up in trying to please people, trying to impress them with our good ideas. And that may work for a short time. How many of us have made friends and we thought they were our best buddies, but then it turns out that really they were acquaintances for a short time and they wander away along life's road. They may carry some fond memories of you, but you'll never know, will you? Unless they send you a birthday card, Christmas card, or something like that. It's good ideas are well and good, but they're not what's needed. And they will not last unless they are God's ideas. It's only then will those ideas stand the test of time. We read in 1 Peter in verse 15 and 16, which reads, "For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as God's slaves." Wow, live as God's slaves. You know, many people who aren't Christians would think, if they read that or hear that, this message, that verse is controversial. Especially verse 16. It starts by telling us to live as free people and ends up telling us that we should be slaves. If they're unbelievers, they would find that very difficult to reconcile it to themselves. They may not get what this verse is saying. That's why I think this scripture should make it clear to them, the gospel in a nutshell, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It follows then, if you've accepted God's Son, Jesus, as your Lord and Saviour, surely you've accepted him as your Master. And if you've accepted him as your Master, then surely you're his slave. And as his slave, you get special privileges, you know. You're promised eternal life, a life with him and the Father, and an inheritance in the kingdom. Now, I can't speak for all of you, but I feel with promises like that, I personally am happy to be known as and called a slave of the Lord. Why? Well, let's look at Luke. That sounds a bit tongue twister, doesn't it? Let's look at Luke 16 and 13, where we're warned. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Which will you choose? Remembering that we came into this world with nothing, and we're all aware, or we should be, there are no pockets in strides. So we're going to go out of this world exactly the same way, with nothing. That is, unless, of course, you've chosen to become a servant of the Lord. If you come a servant of the Lord and follow his advice that we can read in Matthew 19:21, which tells us, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, and that's very true. There is nothing that you can do, nothing that you'll enjoy, unless your heart's there. If you haven't got a heart for football, you won't watch a football game. If you haven't got a heart for cricket, you won't follow a cricket match. You know, if you haven't got a heart for the Lord, you will not follow. And that's what you've got to do, is treasure the precious gift that he's given those who have accepted his Son as their Lord and Saviour. Remember, Romans 6:6 tells us, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. You know, from that reading, it's clear to me that there are only two choices. One, you can be a slave to sin. And the second one, you can be a slave of God's. And the choice is yours. Everyone has got the choice. I have chosen to be a slave of God. It's good to know that although I am in this world, with all the problems that there are in it, and you only have to look at the news and what's going on in all aspects of what's happening in this world to see that it's not getting any better. And we shouldn't be surprised, because Scripture tells us that we're in the last days and things are going to get worse. Rather, before they get better, they're only going to get better after the Lord calls those who are in the Lamb's Book of Life to be with him. When we belong to God as his slave, we are counted as his. We have a secure future to look forward to. Now, isn't that worth being a slave? The everlasting promise that we have we can read in Revelation 21:4. We've already sung about it this morning. He will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Wow, what a promise. You know, yes, in this life, the older you get, and I can vouch for it, because I'm standing here, I think I'm the oldest one here. You know, you can be sure that you'll have more deaths in your family. You'll get to attend more funerals. You'll experience more health problems. And we all develop them in some form or another. And I believe without God's promise to look forward to a future that holds such strong recommendation from His Word, and it's a promise which will stand if you accept it, but you've got to take possession of it and accept His Son. You know, if it weren't for His promise, the older you get, the future would seem less rosy. You know, but when you've got Him to look forward to, how much easier does it get to look forward to maybe going out in the stride? Because you know that all you're doing is changing your address. Not your dress, address. In a reading from 1 Peter 16 and 19, we are told, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect for everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your master, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. You know, and that's the fact a lot of people in this world today, they have no concept of God. They give no thought to God. And to give thought to God, He's got to be in your conscience. You've got to think about Him. If you are a servant of God, you can be sure of that. There will be times, not there may, I had may first, but I've stroked it out and put will be times, when you will feel persecuted and suffer because of others, because of your faith. But isn't it good to know, not only will God know about the pain you're suffering and all that you're going through, but He will also provide you with the strength to deal with those situations. And not only that, but He will also commend you for your obedience and perseverance. What a wonderful God. Who else is worthy of our love, our worship, and our praise? Just as Jesus did the will of His Father, if we have accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, shouldn't we be following His example? The Lamb of God, who was without sin, became our sacrificial lamb to reconcile us to God, to the Father. He knew the importance of doing the Father's will. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He was overcome and He asked that the cup, bitter cup, be taken from Him. And He said, but not my will, but your will be done. He knew the importance of the Father's will. He knew what the cost was going to be to Him. Yet He was obedient even unto death, death on the cross. We've read this morning in 1 Peter 24:25. He himself bore our sin in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep gone astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. You know, this morning, if you are following the shepherd and overseer of your soul, if you're a slave of God, then you don't need to worry about your future. Your future is bright. You've got a rich inheritance to look forward to. But if, as yet, you have not accepted God's Son, Jesus, as your shepherd and overseer, I would seriously recommend that you give it some serious consideration. And if you hear the Holy Spirit calling you and convicting you of your need to repent, I would urge you to grasp that opportunity with both hands, because you don't know, if you reject it, whether it will ever come again. It's like waiting on a bus. If you're there and the bus comes, you've got a choice. You get on it or you let it go. There may not be another one. So if you feel the Holy Spirit convicting you this morning or next week or whenever, give it really serious consideration. I urge you. You know, Satan will try and distract you by saying, "You're not good enough. You're not good enough. You, look at you, you do this, you're a drunkard, you smoke 20 fags a day, you lust after women or men or whatever." And it's true, there's none of us good enough. You know, you just got to look at Scripture. Tells us in Romans 3, 23, 24, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes by faith in his Son, Jesus Christ." It couldn't be any clearer, but it couldn't be any more serious either. If you haven't made that commitment, I urge you, if the Holy Spirit convicts you, give it serious thought and take the bus. Don't wait for the next one, because the bus drivers might go on strike. Okay, amen. Let's just come to the Lord. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us enough to send your Son to the cross to cover all our impurities, our sins. And Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to follow the Father's will. You know, it's hard to understand at times. I think each one of us here that know you and have accepted you, we find it hard to understand why. But we look forward to the day when you call us to be with you and explain it all to us. And we say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Thank you, Lord. Amen.